What's up, Knicks fans? Worldwide Knicks, episode number 50. And because it's the 50th episode, this is also our first video episode. We are making a shift to audio plus video because people might want to see us when we're speaking. Maybe you wondered what we all look like, and here we are. So Omar here alongside Alex and Rafa. First of all, guys, really awesome. This is our 50th episode and also our first episode foraying into video. It's crazy just thinking about all those months ago when we started having those conversations. Rafa started having those conversations with both of us and just talking about, hey, you know, we talk about this stuff on the group chat all the time. You know, let's parlay that into podcasts. And since then, we've had a lot of great discussions. We've had guests on, hoping to bring more guests on in the future. And, you know, it's been a great ride so far, you know, hoping for another 50 plus episodes. So Alex, Rafa, you know, how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks, Omar. Yeah. I didn't know it was the video episode before we started, or I would have hung up some kind of Knicks stuff behind me.
It's a work in progress. So is what we, what we're going with here.
Yeah.
Didn't want to go too fancy, man.
Yeah. Blood in the Garden's a great start. So Rafa will get
Rafa's tip top right there with the setup. It's good.
Look at me. Yeah, look at me, man. I've been working on it. Just
slowly but surely. So. Yeah, there you go. Awesome.
I'm waiting for the RJ Barrett pop.
Yeah, we'll wait for that to actually be made, you know, to be able to get that.
The only Knicks one I can get is Porzingis, and
How terrible is that? That, like, he's been gone now for quite some time. He's on, you know, a second team after Dallas, and we still can't get anything. Not a Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, something. And even a Derrick Rose, you know, because he's still kind of really revered. That you would think will probably sell a little bit. But let's get right into it, guys. It's been a rough week, a 1-3 week for the team, with a blowout win against Golden State, which was great to see. Everything was dropping. Frustrating loss to Pascal Siakam, who dropped 52 for the Raptors at the Garden. So he had his kind of trademark balling at the Garden moment that all the good players seem to have. You know, then Chicago exacted some revenge against us. You know, they beat us at home as well. And Christmas Day, a loss to Philadelphia, where Joel Embiid and James Harden were unstoppable. George Niang was hitting threes. And, you know, so overall, not a great time, you know. And obviously, we're looking to bounce back. We have the Texas three-way tour, you know, that kind of every team does. You know, road games against Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio coming up this week. We'll have game predictions later on during the episode, of course. But first thing I kind of want to talk about is something that happened in the offseason. So when the Knicks signed our point guard, Jalen Brunson, you know, there was a lot of talk, especially from Mavericks fans and the Mavericks themselves, that the Knicks tampered to acquire him. And, you know, we all kind of assume, well, of course they tampered. Tampering is everywhere. But finally, the investigation concluded, and the results were that, yes, the Knicks tampered, and they are going to be fined by losing a draft pick, a second-round draft pick, in the 2025 draft, which is their own pick, not a pick that they own that is originally acquired from another team. So I guess the big question for you guys is, big deal, not so big deal? How do we feel about it?
Well, it's a big deal in the fact that we still got away with robbery on that trade. I mean, the fact that you could get Jalen Brunson. I mean, some people mocked that contract at first and said it was too much. The fact
looks like a value now.
Yeah, plus you get him out for a second round pick, a future second round pick. I mean, the tampering thing was kind of funny. That, I mean, yeah, tampering goes on everywhere, as you said, Omar. Right. But Knicks really took it to the next level, I think. You know, this is elite tampering, but. Yeah, they did everything they could to just say that, oh, look, we don't give a shit, and, you know, like, we're getting our guy, and it worked. And the fact that we've only had to give up a second round pick, I was amazed. I was actually going to ask you last week, Omar, about what was happening with that. It had gone quiet for such a long time. I didn't know if there was an update on it, and then the news dropped, and I couldn't believe it, you know. So yeah, I think they let us off. I think they let us off one of them.
It was because you asked, Alex. Thanks for the second round pick. We lost.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it 100 times out of 100 because we got a player in Jalen Brunson. And imagine a trade where the Knicks traded their second round pick and way down the line for Jalen Brunson. That's a steal. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. So every team will still tamper. They're not scared of losing the second round pick for a player. They think it's an upgrade for their team. So to me, it's it doesn't make sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's what's the second round pick for a guy who's starting a point guard or whatever? I mean, every team will do this because the second round. And so the team that gets hurt actually gets nothing. If they got the second round pick or whatever, it would make sense. To me, it would make more sense. But Dallas didn't want to pay him enough. Doesn't matter here. But the player walked or went to another team, and they still didn't get nothing. They didn't get a pick, anything. So to me, it doesn't make much sense picking a second round pick from a team. The Knicks would still do it. I mean,
we shouldn't cry over getting one over Dallas, to be fair. You know, especially Mark Cuban, you know, anytime you can make him look a fool, then all for it.
Yeah, the funny thing about it, guys, is like you guys said, what's a second round pick to this team? Ultimately, so you're looking at if they're middle of the pack like they have been this year, well, you're looking at a pick in like the low 40s or high 40s, excuse me. And you know, that's nothing for a guy who's averaging 20 points a game who has all-star potential. And again, we would do that 100 times out of 100. I'm very happy that he's the point guard of this basketball team. But the bigger point that I kind of have been thinking about is, I mean, this just further proves that tampering is inevitable. You know, this league is so worried about, I think post LeBron and D Wade and Bosch to Miami, this, you know, this collusion to, you know, kind of stack the deck for one team over another. And they're so focused on parity. And I just think they're just petrified by it because, you know, your small market teams are the ones that fear this, right? They fear players talking, players and GMs and agents talking and kind of figuring some sort of alliances out. Like if you're, you know, a team like Oklahoma City or Orlando or something like that, that doesn't typically get free agents, then you might be worried like, oh, this is going to be the norm. We're never going to retain our guys. We're never going to be able to do anything. And so the illusion of tampering fines and it being a big deal is something like, in my view, the biggest punishment would be a first round pick. But do you guys think that the league would ever go that far to dock a team for maybe a first or multiple first round picks?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I mean, as I said, it's although I said you know, it's about as blatant as it gets what the Knicks did. You know, it was also quite hard to prove, and I guess, you know, just with the family ties thing, you know, how can you actually stop a father talking to his son, you know?
They did make a very big point about that, saying, you know, the Rick Brunson connection had nothing to do with it. Who knows how truthful that is, but, you know, you would hope that they wouldn't find a kid talking to his father, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation.
Well, yeah. It's especially one that's so, you know, connected to his career as a whole. So, but no, I guess if, you know, the team was that blatant, I don't know, they got kind of audio messages, they got, I don't know, texts, emails or something that was blatantly talking about it, then, I mean, they cancelled that trade, didn't they? The Bogdanovich one before. So yeah, why wouldn't they, you know, take first round picks away, for instance? You know, I think they would definitely be capable of it.
I think it should, well, there's restricted free agents, and if you get a restricted free agent, you will need to give up a pick. I don't I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm confusing the sport, because I know in the NHL, restricted free agents, it depends on the contracts you give out. It's like a big contract, big time player. You give out like two or
It's like
three first round picks.
compensatory picks or something like that, yeah.
Exactly. So I don't think that exists with the NBA. Like, you have a time to match, and if you don't match, the guy walks. So
I think they do a lot of sign
maybe.
and trades now, right, Rafa, where they'll do
Yeah,
something
maybe.
just to kind of play ball with the other team. Remember with Brunson, there was even rumors about a sign and trade. Ultimately, it
Yeah,
never
too.
happened, but yeah.
But even a sign and trade, like, if the team knows they're okay, we tampered, it's a second round pick. Do we need that second round pick that badly? That we need to get a sign and trade where they want Mitchell Robinson? No, second round pick, bye. But it's funny to me. And a few years ago, there was a 2K game, NBA 2K, where there was tampering. Like, so you
Oh, it's part
finished
of
your
the
season,
game.
dude. You finished your season, and I'm going into free agency. I need to pick
Right.
the team I want to, whatever day it is,
Yeah.
and you get two or three or four cutscenes when there's players from other teams coming into your home to try and get you to play with them. That's tampering in the game, so they know it exists. They know what happens. Like, what? So it's frustrating. Yeah, like, if you want teams to be scared, actually be scared, actually do something scary, like take away the first. Oh, Brunson is a good deal. He's on a big contract. So yeah, for the next 2 years, you won't get a first and 2 seconds. Teams will go, okay, a first and 2 seconds. Hired goes as
It's a lot, yeah.
contract-wise. Oh, bye. Contract-wise, just more picks. So yeah, my throat is very, very sore. So pardon me for the
Yeah, you have
feel
to
like a
pardon Rafa.
teenager.
He was yelling at the TV yesterday every time James Harden flopped for every three attempts. So, I'm sure
No,
that was the
it's
case.
still no, it's still from the Bulls game, and every RJ Barrett shot. Zing.
So yeah, I mean, it's to wrap that up, guys. I mean, obviously tampering is going to happen. The Knicks are going to tamper in the future. Every other NBA team is going to tamper in the future. It should be interesting, though, to see how the league polices it or attempts to police it moving forward. In this age of social media, there's nothing really you can do. Like, the players are going to talk to one another in one way or another. And I think about, like, in my own job, I talk to people from other companies and in my same field all the time. Just imagine if, like, you had your regular job and tampering rules applied. I think that'd be kind of funny to kind of make that corollary.
Just one final
But
thing, Omar. Sorry, I
yeah.
was just going to say there's so many agents now in the front office as well. And,
Oh yeah, we're one of them, right? Got Leon there.
well, exactly. So, these guys are going to be, they've got all the back channels and, all the kind of relationships in the game. So they know exactly what they're doing. So,
Yeah, it's only going to increase. I mean, you got Pelinka, over there in LA. I wouldn't be surprised if Rich Paul gets a front office job eventually, LeBron's agent. So, yeah, it's inevitable. You're going to see more of it. You're going to see a lot of this moving forward, and the league has to figure out where it really stands on tampering before it really establishes a proper policy to try to curb it. But the next thing I kind of want to talk about here is something that you brought up, Alex, in our group chat, which is team looking a little fatigued down the stretches in these games. Obviously the team has shifted to a 9-man rotation. The other night we saw both Brunson and Grimes brick free throws down the stretch across the game. So I guess, is this fatigue level that we might be seeing at the one game we saw RJ play 46 minutes? Is this stuff like this cause for concern for us moving forward down the stretch of the year as we attempt to maintain positioning for the playoff and the play-in?
I think it's a kind of double-edged sword a wee bit. I mean, it's worked for us that this 9-man rotation, this heavy minutes thing, it's worked for us on the winning streak, and the fact that if they're saying, it's brought the squad together. It's you know, it's just made everything run a bit kind of smoother, and you know, everybody's tighter and stuff like that. So, but then again, it's there's going to be a downside to that, and fatigue's just going to be normal. And the way that, you know, Tibbs teams play, you know, they're so kind of intense, you know, especially on the defensive end, that yeah, fatigue's going to be a factor. And it was only natural. So, I mean, I think there's other reasons in the last few games that have gone down to it, but the fact, you know, we've been winning all these games up until kind of late in the game, and yeah, it's just, they've just kind of fizzled out, you know, and definitely those missed free throws can be down to a bit of pressure as well. Certainly from Grimes' perspective, Grimes looked terrified when he was shooting those free throws, you know, and you knew fine well he was going to miss. The Brunson ones were a wee bit more surprising, but
yeah, agreed.
I think a lot of it comes down to the, you know, we've been banged on about this for so long about how the Knicks don't have stars and stuff, but then, you know, like the Christmas Day game, you could just see that, you know, at some point Harden and Embiid were just like, look, we're just going to take over this game, and they looked like they were going to score every time they came up the court in that fourth quarter. They just looked like they were getting everything they want, and they were so relaxed, so confident. And that's what these guys can do in pressure situations. They can just take the team home. I think there was a wee bit of that as well. But yeah, fatigue's definitely a factor at the moment. Mental fatigue as well as physical as well. It's just such an up and down season. And I think there's so much going on with the roster at the moment that, yeah, I think it's playing a factor for sure.
I think a bigger issue, other than the they'll bring heavy minutes. Okay, they're young. I mean, just play.
Sure.
It's not about the minutes they play. It's and we you guys talked about it last week, and we all over Twitter that even on a group chat, like their style of play, really New York, that gritty defensive play and bang the body
takes a toll.
Yeah, exactly. That's, to me, that's the big issue. Like, you look at Brunson, every game he's like limping out or something. So it takes a toll on the body. And if you're
real quick about Brunson, Rafa, I mean, do you think that they should consider, you know, maybe benching him a couple games, have him sit out a couple games just to kind of rejuvenate a little? I know he would probably never sign on for that because he's just that type of player. You know, he wants to play every game. If he can walk, he's going to try and play. But, you know, it seems like these little nagging injuries have him leaving in games for stretches. I mean, do we think that maybe you kind of just throw in quickly to start in for a game or two and then bring Brunson back after that?
I don't think that's going to be a solution. I think that a part of it is having, and we've seen that, having RJ, having more of the ball, creating the offense or starting the offense, and that playing Brunson a little bit more off ball helps him rest a bit instead of holding the ball. Like, that's the way Randall can do it. If people hate it, but Randall can do it. RJ is the apparently developing that part as well. And
so you have RJ, these three guys, right? They could all take turns.
Yeah, even you can bring on quickly to do it, and he's been doing it somewhat. Shout out to Quickly. He's been playing, to me, I think he's been playing very well in that off-ball role with the first unit. I think he's been solid with that, and his shot has appeared again. But I think Brunson, yeah, like you mentioned, Brunson's going to play. If you tell, you should rest, Brunson with a broken leg, like, no, I'm good, limping on the court. I think he's that type of player. So I think it's... They look tired at the end of the game. It's of all the defensive intensity and offensive intensity we put into the game. And it's when you're winning, you don't feel tired at all. When you lose, that tiredness creeps in. That's the only issue for me.
I want to piggyback off of that point real quick, Rafa. I really think, yes, it's being fatigued. A lot of these players are getting minutes they didn't previously get, so they have to acclimate. Just like when a player gets drafted out of college, you know, in the middle of the first year, they kind of hit a wall because they're only used to playing 30 games, and then 30, 40 games, and you're asked them to play 82. I think you're having a similar situation where Deuce McBride, Quentin Grimes are used to playing, you know, lighter minutes, and now you're doubling and sometimes tripling their minutes load. That's going to take some adjustment. And I think a lot of this stuff is, to me, feels like the ups and downs that come with a young roster. You know, we've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. The oldest player in the rotation is Julius Randle right now. He's 28. You know, you got a lot of guys in their early 20s figuring stuff out, figuring out the league. Again, I use the Deuce and Grimes example. Those are the guys that are really still kind of getting it together. Jericho Sims and Obi Toppin, when he gets back, those are guys still figuring out the league, you know, and to me, that's really the takeaway from here. I know a lot of people, anytime it's a team looks tired and they're coached by Tom Thibodeau, immediately it's like, oh, Thibodeau minutes, you know, all this stuff. He's overworking his players. But you look at these guys, Julius's minutes are down year over year. I think he's averaging like 34. RJ, I think, leads the team in minutes. He's averaging about 35 or 36. If I'm not, I don't know if you have that up, Rafa, but you know, it's not like any of these guys are even coming close to playing 40 minutes regularly. Yes, there's an off night where maybe due to foul situations, one person creeps up in higher minute total. But I really do think this is a young team thing, more getting used to the stresses and being and understanding how to play in crunch time, as opposed to just like, oh, they're getting overworked. And now, granted, the energy exerted defensively is a factor. I'm not taking that away. But I just think there's just a young team's growing pains at this point.
Has any other team played more back-to-backs than the Knicks? Feels ridiculous.
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Look at this. We the last six games, they were all back-to-backs. Back-to-back, back-to-back again. Like, the game against the Sixers, it was the end of a back-to-back. The game against the Raptors, the same. That's where the fatigue crept in. So many back to backs. I don't understand this. So,
yeah, I mean, that's NBA scheduling for you, though, right? You know, it's not always fair. You know, that's I would be interested to see like who leads the league in scheduled back to backs, or you know, I think there's like a metric. I can't remember who developed it, but there's a metric for schedule difficulty based on frequency of play and strength of opponent. Now, I am curious to see where the Knicks rank on that list, you know, because it does seem that way, yeah.
The website that Chris Herring works for now, I know they do a lot of stats like that. They do a lot of kind of real kind of in-depth kind of statistics, like something a wee bit different, but is it
538. So I guess, would you guys just say then, a lot of this is just maybe it's scheduling, maybe it's a young team. You know, that's the issue with the fatigue conversation, right? You immediately assume it's overexertion of minutes when it's not even close to being that. And I am curious to see how this team is going to function when Obi gets back, because offensively, this bench unit now is really kind of struggling in moments when both Hartenstein and Sims are on the floor. I mean, defensively it's good, you know, because the two bigs who kind of clog up the middle, but offensively you're so limited, you know, you end up with a really bad ISO jump shot or just not a lot of dynamic offensive play. And so I'm curious to see how that looks. You know, I would assume once Obi is back into the lineup, we would see him slide into that backup four spot, obviously, and Sims probably be relegated to the bench. And then you just roll in with Hartenstein. But yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious how that's going to go.
I've seen it quite a lot. I mean, obviously the bench unit's a real concern at the moment, but and a lot of people put that down to the fact that, you know, Obi's not there. But I think it's as much to do with lacking a kind of fully functioning Derrick Rose as well, just to kind of lead that unit. That bench unit, and so his lack of any kind of form or presence at all is, I think, is really hurting the bench unit at all. So, I think that's a bigger deal at the moment.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit, guys, into everybody's favorite topic, which are potential Knicks trade rumors. So it feels like almost every other day, there's a new trade on the horizon. Somebody wants out of their current situation or rumored to be wanting out of their current situation. And of course, the Knicks are always involved. You know, whether that's kind of a Knicks for clicks thing, or there's any legitimacy to the rumors. So I figured it'd be fun to kind of go through each one. If we think that they're actually available, and if the Knicks should go after them, and types of packages that would be needed. So, you know, obviously we just played Toronto the other day. Big player with them that has been on the rumor to be a trade target acquisition for a lot of teams is OG Anunoby. And my takeaway on this one, guys, is you really, as a team, need to figure out what is your opinion of this starting group that you have. You just signed Brunson in the offseason. You just re-signed RJ. You still have Julius on the books for a few more years. You just signed Mitchell Robinson. So four out of your five guys in your starting rotation, you've committed big money to and years to. Grimes obviously still on his rookie deal. So if you trade for OG Anunoby, that basically is saying, well, I don't believe in the starting unit anymore. We got to shake some things up. So that's my hesitancy. I just feel like we have to see what – we don't really know what the ceiling of this starting unit is right now. You know, we got to give them a whole year, I feel like. So do you guys buy into any sort of interest in OG Anunoby, and are the Knicks even in play to get him if Toronto decides to deal him before the deadline?
I think he would be a fantastic signing if you could get him. Been banging on about the fact that, you know, we need somebody that can play multiple positions. We need somebody at the wing position that can defend, but it can also provide offensive productivity, and he just fits the bill perfectly. I know before Rafa joined us, we were talking about the low post. Zach Lowe is about as reliable as it gets. You know, he's very connected. Very fantastic podcast that he's got, but his actual quote was saying that everybody wants OG Anunoby. If he ever gets traded, the price and picks are going to surprise people because it might be on par for Donovan Mitchell. So be careful.
he's not that kind of player. You know, he's not that kind of player.
It's baffling to me.
Yeah. But also, I mean, you're talking about a guy that can do it all. You know, he's points per game. He's 18.9 points per game. Fantastic defender. Really reliable. And he's still on a really good contract. He's 25 as well. You know, why shouldn't a player like that, that can give you everything, be as valuable as a Donovan Mitchell, who's a bit more flashy?
I thought you were about to talk about timeline for a second there, Alex. He was 25.
No, that was last week.
That's the last mention. Yeah, for sure.
It's a kind of casuals to the sport might just, you know, always see the flashy players, the dunkers, you know, the highlight plays and things, and think those are the guys that are most valuable. But I guess if you're building a team, you in a front office, you've got a smart front office, you see somebody like Anunoby and you're like, well, is he as valuable as Donovan Mitchell to this roster if the fit's right? And yeah, I mean, the answer's yes, but I mean, it would be a very brave front office if they were to give up the kind of haul for
Anunoby. What do you see as a appropriate price tag to get him?
Well, I mean, when we're talking about the Donovan Mitchell haul, they're talking about the Cavs, you know, what the Cavs gave up. I mean, what they actually wanted from the Knicks is obviously ridiculous. So I think there's two different thought processes there. I think it would obviously take a lot. And if we're thinking about the Raptors and that they're in a slightly precarious position at the moment, and are they going to, as the phrase goes, blow it up and start back through the draft again, which they're very good at, then it's going to take a lot of our first-round picks that are going to get them, whether it's protected or not, whether it's next picks or the other ones. I think it's going to be primarily about those.
There's also the Masai Ujiri aspect, right? Like, he's going to try and fleece the Knicks as much as he can, going back to the Bargnani deal.
We didn't get Kyle Lowry as well, remember, because Dolan didn't want fleeced twice by the Raptors. So Yeah, maybe that's still hanging on. Maybe after all this time, Dolan's finally forgiven him. But yeah, it's just the price you have to pay. You know, we talked about how we got a bargain for Brunson, but this is what you have to pay to get these top guys. Do you know? And you're talking about a wing player that can do it all. They're the most valuable players in the league as far as I'm concerned. You know, but yeah, he's maybe not the best at his position, but he's still incredibly valuable, I think so.
Rafa, what you got?
The only way you get a guy like OG Anunoby into your team, or any wing player like OG Anunoby, you're getting rid of either RJ Barrett or Quentin Grimes. There's no way you can get all three. So,
facts,
get this clear. You don't, it's very difficult in this league. You'll get a guy who won't come off your bench. There's no way he's coming off the bench. None of the guys mentioned around Twitter will come off the bench.
Right.
So you need to get someone out of that rotation or even out of that team.
Mm-hmm.
And if not both, if the Raptors don't say, yeah, we want Grimes and RJ, you get an Anobi. We want Grimes and RJ. It's plausible. Is he better than both? I don't think so. But that's me. I'm an RJ guy, so you know me. But
I think if you're the Knicks, you want RJ with Anunoby from a defensive perspective.
But you want Grimes.
Well, so that's who you're trying to upgrade. I feel Grimes. Like that's
the thing with me is a guy like OG Anunoby is if he's getting traded, he's like, okay, it's my time to shine.
He wants a bigger
I was
role.
In Toronto. Yeah, of course. How are you going to get a bigger role if you're next to RJ, to Brunson,
Julius,
and Randall? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the old argument. There's only one ball.
Yeah.
It's the old argument. It's the oldest in the book. But a guy like OG will want to be, okay, upstate, up north, they gave it to Siakam. They traded me instead. So I'm going to show them. I'm going to be the guy. So I don't know. Does he, if he would fit with the Knicks? Yeah, sure, but not now.
You got to trade one of your three, is the thing. You'd have to trade one of your three. Mm-hmm. And Grimes.
Yeah, that's it.
And quickly. And some picks. You know, so that's the thing, right? It's a big
people are sleeping. I think every team will try to get Jericho Sims out of the Knicks, by the way. It's like,
who wouldn't
want to have Jericho Sims right there? Because he's a guy. He's
looked great.
He can build.
He's looked so good. I mean,
exactly.
If I'm being honest, guys, if I'm talking about backup centers, you know, I value Jericho over Hartenstein personally. I just feel like his skill set hasn't really been unlocked by this team. You know, so whereas Jericho's has because of the Mitch element, right? Because he's kind of like another version of Mitch in terms of what he can do well and what he can't do well. With OG Anunoby, it all comes down to what do you want to do with this starting lineup? How highly do you value Grimes at your shooting guard position? Because if you're trading for him, he's gone. You know, whether it's through trade or he's like relegated back to the bench or whatever the case may be. And, you know, this was a guy who allegedly held back the Donovan Mitchell trade. But you're going to bring in OG Anunoby. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me from that perspective. I'm sorry, Alex, I think I cut you off. What were you saying?
No, I was going to ask you another question about Hartenstein, but if you, it's just you were quite big on Hartenstein before he came.
I mean, he's a connecting center.
I'm just wondering if you thought he'd been used correctly. Is he what you kind of were expecting? Is he?
There are moments where he looks great, like where he's like making outlet passes. He's being a connector, shooting corner threes a little bit, you know, here and there. But it just feels like the more often than not, he looks a little lost in the offense and the flow of things. And I think a big part of that is the way we play offense, right? It's not really conducive to a guy like him. I think if they're able to kind of scheme around it to unlock him more, then you would get more production out of him. But there are nights where Hartenstein is incredibly frustrating. And then there are nights where he's making long outlet passes to Deuce McBride in transition, and he looks great. you know, and I mean, I guess that's the reality of a backup center, but it's
what is asked of him.
Think, yeah, that's
sorry.
That's
thing, right? Just what is asked of him on defense? I mean, he can't do that. It's not his style. He's not a defensive center. Don't try to ask him to play like Mitch or Jericho. He says, well, he's going to get toasted.
His signing almost feels like a lack of vision and cohesion between the front office and the coach. You know, because we know Tom Thibodeau wants some level of rim protection on defense for 48 minutes a night. He gets that with Mitch and Jericho Sims. You don't get that with Mitch and Isaiah Hartenstein, right? That to me is the biggest issue, where there's like a little bit of a disconnect between the two entities, and that's kind of the issue.
The big thing I was praising at the time was the fact that when we'd given up Noel was too similar to Mitch, and what Hartenstein brought was something a little bit different. But what he's disappointed me in was that the promise that he had a solid 3-point shot. His 3-point shot every now and again, as you say, corner threes, okay, but his shot looks terrible, you know, most of the time. It was not what I expected.
We don't play to it.
Yeah.
We don't play to it as well. We want him to get offensive rebounds. Well, he doesn't do that.
It's not him doing that, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what this team has really relied on with both Jericho Sims and Mitchell Robinson. So that becomes a disconnect. Let's move on to a player, again, we just saw yesterday. Tobias Harris with the 76ers. Obviously, kind of the, I would say, fourth fiddle now to Embiid, Harden, and Maxey, right? So, you know, a lot of rumors about him being made available. A lot of rumors about the front office really liking Tobias Harris's game. Do you guys see the Knicks making a deal for Tobias?
It's been a long rumored one, isn't it? Just with the New York connection.
To me, that damn New York connection, man. Always gets us.
Again.
Every player's connected.
Oh, I know. But he's always just seemed that kind of steady guy that's been way overpaid. He'd be a lovely kind of fourth, fifth guy in the team, but he's not really more than that. He's always seemed quite a kind of low IQ player. It doesn't really, you know, his shot is pretty solid. He's never a player you can get excited about. You know, you don't really see him being really elite at anything. But he gets paid like a second, maybe third option, you know, and I don't know how many years he's got left in his deal, but it's not
like the Harrison Barnes corollary, man. It's like he's good but not great, and you're the cap number's big, and again, if you're bringing him in, you're shaking up the starting lineup, because I highly doubt Tobias Harris is coming off any bench right now.
No,
especially
that's
with how
what
much
I was asking.
Paid. Yeah,
that's what I was asking.
He doesn't seem like a ball handler, though. To me, he seems.
No, he's not. He's catching shooting.
A bit more, you know. So, from that respect, you know, the Knicks need shooting. They don't need another ball handler. So, I mean, there is a fit there, I suppose. But I'm just trying to think of positives. You know,
Alex being optimistic. What's going on over here? Is this the New Year's resolution? What's happening?
He would fit better than Zach LaVine. Put it that way. I know it's a low bar, but
I agree with that.
Any of us would fit better than Zach LaVine. there you go. That's it. To be fair, Tobias Harris, he's a big body. He's a guy who can play some defense. So that's a guy who would help in that regard. But yeah, I'm not trading for a 37 million off the bench. It's like, no. And 40 next year, because he has this year and next year. So
it's still guaranteed
40 million off the bench. No.
Massively overpaid player. You know, he's like one of those guys. He was this before he got to Philly when he was in Detroit, where you're on a bad team. You're just getting buckets on a bad team, big contract, so that they can avoid the salary floor. Like, so a team like Charlotte, a team like Houston or something like that, who has a lot of young guys, you know, you bring him in and he's kind of that guy to kind of fill up some salary, get some points, whatever the case may be. And, you know, the Knicks, right, again, it just comes back to the starting lineup thing. You know, you trade for Tobias, you got to fill that salary in somewhere. like everybody was like, oh, we'll just trade Evan Fournier and Derrick Rose and whatever, these guys who were out of the rotation. I'm like, think about if you're like Alex, you do this all the time. Like, if you're Philly, why do you accept that? Like, yeah. Why do I take a worse version of Tobias Harris and an old backup point guard? You know, it's just, why do I want that? You know, if I'm Philly and I'm giving up one of my big time players, you know, if I'm especially, trying to make the finals right now.
Yeah, especially if the Tobias Harris contract will end next year, at the end of next year. So yeah. if he had a 4-year deal still, I would see them going for that deal because Fournier is expiring, Rose is expiring as well. So I could see that, but there's no point in
All right, so it looks like all of us are a firm no on Tobias. So we're not even going to discuss packages. The last one is a fun one to me. So this one kind of sprouted out from a tweet that Jalen Brunson liked, and it kind of, you know, Knicks Twitter did its thing. Imagine in the 90s, guys, if Reggie Miller was a Knick instead of a Pacer after everything he did to them. Well, that's what we're talking about now. Trae Young, you know.
Wait. Before you go, we go into Trae Young, can you imagine Reggie Miller playing with Patrick Ewing?
It feels like blasphemy. I mean, yeah.
It feels like championship as well.
We win game 7 against the Rockets if we have Reggie Miller on that team, obviously. I mean, there's right? Yeah. So
something to cry about.
Yeah. I mean, that was the folly of Patrick's career, right? Never had a proper number two, you know, to take the scoring load off of him. And, because Starks was so inconsistent. Reggie Miller, you know, top three at worst shooter of all time. You know, that would have.
Reggie Miller could play in this current roster. The moment the way we shoot, I think we could find
10 minutes for him every night, right? You know, yeah. He'd be all right.
He's old, so Tibbs would play him.
There we go. Hey, man, we're just talking about how young the rotation is, Rafa. Come on, man.
I'm joking. It's just a little jab. No Tibbs hate.
Let's talk a little Trae Young. I know a lot of Knicks fans don't like him because of what happened in the playoffs a couple years ago. And he's like really embraced that guard and villain type thing, but man, the guy could score points. He could score points. He's a great passer. He's an excellent floor general. The issue obviously becomes he just signed Jalen Brunson, and so I can't even imagine what a backcourt with him and Trae would look like from a defensive perspective. That would just be a nightmare, you know. And I mean, and again, if you look at Atlanta right now, they brought in a point guard by trade to play with them. It hasn't really worked out so great so far with DeJounte Murray from the Spurs. So wouldn't we just be setting up for the same thing? But the other part of me is just like envisioning, you know, like first round of the playoffs, you know, Trae Young bringing it off the court and just wetting the 30-footer at the Garden. It's just like how amazing that would be. And you know, selfishly, of course, I want that, but I just can't. If we're talking about 2-3 players, 3-4 picks for OG Anunoby, I don't even want to know what the cost of Trae Young would be. A legitimate superstar point guard. Like, OG, you think he's like could be something. Trae Young is that right now, right? And, you know, you thought the Donovan Mitchell package was bad. I mean, that's what it would be plus some if you wanted Trae Young. Because I don't know how willing the Hawks would be to even play ball with the Knicks on that one. Obviously, they had the Cam trade last year, but, you know, Trae Young's a whole other stratosphere. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, just to touch on the DeJounte Murray, I mean, Murray's obviously known as a pretty elite defensive guard as well. You would have thought the fit was absolutely perfect there. So that would be a real concern why that's not worked so far. But, I mean, I'm in the tiny minority. I've mentioned before that I absolutely love Trae Young, and especially after as much as it, you know, hurt me for weeks and weeks after that playoff series, you've got to admire the guy that can come and just take a bow in the Garden.
Baller can ball, Rafa. I see you shaking your head.
I know, man. It's true. Oh no, it's true.
You know, we've said many times.
I'm shaking my head.
There's not shithousery in the league. There's just not enough like proper evil characters in the league and rivalries and all that kind of stuff. It's missing.
You would think Knicks fans would embrace that, right? Like, yeah he's just going to talk shit to everybody that comes into the guard. You know,
the guy had for what, five straight games had the whole crowd shouting "fuck Trae Young." And the guy just takes a bow in the garden and everybody goes mental about it, and you're like,
theater.
Yeah. You're like, well, I think he's maybe due like a little bit back at the fans, do you know? I think he deserves, he's earned it. So yeah, but yeah, as a player, yeah, I love him. And again, we've talked many times about the fact that there's very few players in the league that can play at elite level both sides of the court. Yeah, his defense is one of the worst in the league, and that's obviously a worry when we see how somebody like Kemba fitted into the Tibbs system and the Knicks system, you know. And I know they're different players, but you know, somebody that's that focused on one side of the ball, that you're like, can it really work in this system? I mean, you'd obviously like to try if you had the opportunity, but you'd have to completely gut the whole roster to do it. And yeah, if it doesn't work out, then we're in real shit. So yeah, it would be a tough one to call, but yeah, I'd love to see it, but I don't think it will ever happen, to be honest.
Before you go, Rafa, I want to ask Alex, let's say the trade can happen. What are you offering Atlanta to facilitate this?
Oh, God.
Like, it's got to be three players plus a boatload of picks, right? I mean, that has to be it.
I mean, what's the record if for number of first players. Rounders? I don't know. One of the Clippers deals, I think, maybe it was the record for first rounds traded.
I'm pretty sure the Gobert deal came close.
Yeah, possibly something like that. But
terrible.
I mean, yeah, it would start at something like five first rounders unprotected or something like that, you know. And as you say, probably three players.
Who are the players?
But again, yeah, you're talking about maybe at least two starters out of the next starters, I would say. Maybe a functioning bench player. Plus maybe five unprotected first rounders. You know? It'd be a massive
game. Massive haul. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got, Rafa?
That trade would happen. First of all, we would all go crazy. Because it was Trae Young, and it was like, what the fuck are we supposed to feel now? What are we going to do with our, chance and feelings and all? I would never wanted to see it happen with a backcourt with Brunson and Trae Young.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I like defense, so.
Sure.
Yeah. If that trade was to happen, I would consider adding another pick so they could take Brunson. Like, instead of, any other player. Like, because the fit with Brunson and Trae Young wouldn't be great. It would be terrible. It would be a great fit to have Trae Young, RJ Barrett, and Julius Randle. I think that fit would be great because...
I think you have to keep Mitch in any circumstance if you're bringing in Trae, because you need a rim runner to accompany him the same way they have Capella over there in Atlanta.
Yeah, no team, I don't think any team wants to, if they're trading with the Knicks, I don't think Mitch is an option.
Sure.
Okay, Mitch is not a guy we can use, like, to win. Like,
real quick, guys, I just thought just came to me. Imagine starting backcourt. We call it the heat check backcourt of Trae and Quickly.
Either guy
liable to shoot from 30 feet at any given time would be magnificent.
One hits them. Only one hits them, by the way.
Only one hits.
I mean, if we could manage to do that trade, I mean, it would be similar situation for Trae Young in Atlanta. Like, but Randall to me is a better version of John Collins because, RJ is a more
DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, more mature in a way as well. Like, can you imagine Randall, RJ penetrating and having Trae Young, hey, I'm open here, pass me the ball so I can shoot wide open threes.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah, well, great, do it. I mean, it would, but I don't think we would have get that trade and keep RJ. So I think any big trade we want to make, RJ is gone. If only if the guy Trae Young gets into a Ben Simmons situation with the Sixers, and even then the Sixers had to give up much to get Harden and to throw Simmons away, like a big mess. So only a situation like that would you keep your best talent available.
Yeah, but Trae seems like a pipe dream more than anything, to be honest, guys. I have a really hard time seeing Atlanta actually looking to deal him unless he formally requests a trade, which, I mean, you never know. You know, things could go sideways and he might, you know, want out or whatever. But, you know, it goes back to our tampering discussion. This all started by a like tweet by Jalen Brunson. You know, this is the NBA. You know, this is how it is. You know, you don't, it's not even just like, oh, two colleagues just like thinking about what if or whatever. Everything has to be connected. Like, oh, they're talking, you know, it's all KD and Kyrie's fault. Let's be honest. This is all,
how is that
all
tampering? How is even that tampering? It's
you know how these guys are, man. And I think ultimately, guys, when it's all said and done and the trade deadline comes, I really feel like the priority for the team has to be getting rid of Cam and getting rid of Fournier. That is what the focus should be. And that it should probably be for a rotation wing player who could play some defense. That's what they need. You know, that's really it. Absolutely. You know, you want to get a rotation wing to take some of the pressure off of RJ when he's, so that he doesn't have to feel that he has to come right back into the game. That's what the team needs ultimately. And, you know, everybody, you know, Knicks Twitter loves to fantasize about, you know, high level players making an impact. Like, we have the starting lineup is the starting lineup. So unless you really want to blow it up and bring somebody else in, then, you know, you're basically adding for depth and getting rid of negative assets right now, which are guys who are making money and not contributing in any meaningful way.
Just before you continue, I had a quick look. I'd have to do a bit more research, but apparently Harden was traded to Brooklyn for 3 unprotected picks, 1 protected pick, and 4 pick swaps. So,
yeah.
No, oh, this from Houston to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one. That was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, so possibly.
So it's either fuck them picks or you hold on to them for dear life, right? You got to pick a lane here.
You think that Trae Young is at the same level as Harden was at the time?
No, because Harden was an MVP at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He was probably a notch below, but Trae Young is, I would say, on par with Donovan Mitchell, right? So
it's
all the Donovan Mitchell trades we were throwing out there. Yeah, I think he's higher than Donovan Mitchell personally. Yeah, like I value Trae higher than I do Donovan, but
I mean, it's no disrespect to Trae Young, but in Atlanta he has one deep playoff run. The rest of the seasons are.
I mean, going to the conference finals is nothing to poo-poo, you know? I mean, that's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm saying not hating, but the rest, the other seasons were a bit, is it because of John Collins, because of Clint Capella, because of Hunter, Horder? They tried everything to build around him. So.
Yeah, results matter. That's fair.
Not shitting on Trae Young, by the way.
That's fair. You know, I mean, we'll see if anything happens. You know, I think if they do try to acquire him, it's not happening till the off season anyway. And this isn't like a trade deadline deal. Personally, that's in my view. I don't think that's the case. Let's look at this week. We kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier. So, doing this Texas road trip this week as we close out the year and head into the new year. So a game on Tuesday against Dallas, then games against Houston in San Antonio. So obviously a potential revenge game after Dallas embarrassed the Knicks a couple weeks ago at the Garden, heading back to their place. So what do you guys think? How is the team going to do this week? No, not 0-3.
No.
3-0, I'm like, oh no.
No, not 0-3,
man. You think we're going to be Houston and San Antonio?
No, the other way around.
Oh my gosh.
I was going to mention this at the start. Like, I think a week or so ago, I'd said, you know, these streaks, I know winning streaks are great, but you know, we've all followed the Knicks long enough to know that, you know, a crisis is just around the corner and quite possibly could lose seven or eight in a row as well. So never get too high, never get too low. And so although I'm going to stay positive, the team has been playing well. It's not as if we've been getting blown out in these last three games and, you know, been totally blown up. So it's on the road, but we've played well on the road this season. So I'm going 2-1, although I'm a wee bit unsure about which one's the loss, but I don't know if I'm allowed to get away with not saying, but if I had to pick one, probably the Mavs. Again, Doncic is playing out his mind at the moment, so yeah, I'll go there.
Oh, did you guys see Christian Wood yesterday?
Yeah.
He looked great. Yeah, he played Hardaway, played really well.
He's starting as well, wasn't he?
Yes,
he doesn't start many games, but he's starting now, so.
Yeah.
Frank's back as well.
No, man,
Theo Pinson getting meaningful rotation moments over there, you know. 3-0. That's what you get.
3-0. Losing to the Rockets and the Spurs is come on, don't win the games you need to win, and I'm demanding a revenge game against the Mavs. I demand that every Knicks player cooks Tim Hardaway Jr. Stop being a bum. For nothing, being a bum at the Garden, cook him, dunk on him, do everything.
You say he was a bum as a Knick? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. And the bum at the Garden last game.
Oh, when he was making all
it's
the shots.
My house, okay. Man. Fuck you. You got booted twice. just, I demand that the team show some pride against the Mavs and goes all out. Beat the Mavs. They got to beat the Mavs. It's imperative to me. It's the only thing. It's like, okay. What?
I was just going to say, if we can guarantee one thing, it's got the game against Dallas is going to be an improvement on the last game. I think that's...
I mean, you guys saw they did the same shit to the Lakers yesterday they did to us. They dropped 50 in the third.
Yeah. I know. I always go for the surefire bets and... who's going to do this, that, and the other. But I think we're going to do better against the Mavs than the last time. That's my sending it out there. One this week.
There you go.
I demand better.
I think, guys, I think it's going 2-1 as well. I really think that we will beat Dallas. But I just have this team, man, they have a way of sometimes just slipping up against a team they should beat. And if we drop one to Houston or San Antonio, it would not surprise me one bit. And I think that's where the loss comes this week, either to Houston or San Antonio. But I'm going with 2-1.
One 8 in a row. 8 in a row, you're talking about losses. Come on, believe.
They've lost 3 in a row now, believe. Rafa. What are we talking about?
We played well. Good games. Played well against good teams.
The theme for me with this team this year is that they are a mediocre basketball team. An average team. Average
team. Only this year, right?
Stick around 500, okay? And so that's the thing. So they are going to win some games, but they're going to lose games they should probably have won. And that's the thought process for me. On that note, hoping for 3-0, but that's my prediction. That is going to wrap up episode number 50 of the Worldwide Knicks podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Watching now, as we will also be on YouTube here. And if you enjoy the podcast, please make sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or subscribe on YouTube as well. If you're interested in following us on Twitter, we are at WW Knicks Podcast, where we tweet during the games, talk about a variety of things that are going on Knicks Twitter. And thank you again for tuning in for 50 episodes of three guys just blabbing on about the Knicks. And hopefully you guys stick around for the next therapy. 50 episodes and therapy. Beyond. Therapy. There you go. Therapy sessions of the Knicks. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in for Worldwide Knicks. We'll catch you guys next week. And go Knicks.